This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. There is a book that is shaking up people all over the world. Why do I say it's shaking up people? Because before certain prophetic events happened, it talked about them. And so some of the top secular talk show hosts in America are saying the most amazing things about this book. And it was written by an evangelical Christian whose father just happens to come from an Orthodox Jewish background. And the book is called The Last Days. The first book that Joel Rosenberg wrote was called The Last Jihad. And Joel, how in the world did you get the idea to put work into the storyline all about the terrorism that would happen to America? And you wrote the book before 9/11. That's what blows people out of the water. How did you get your thoughts to even do such a book? How did you even do such a book? I understand you were praying to God about it.
I was. Let me set up what's dramatic about the book, and then I'll go back and explain that, because what people who have not read The Last Jihad don't realize is that the first page of the book puts you inside the cockpit of a hijacked aircraft, hijacked by radical Islamic terrorists, coming in on a kamikaze attack mission into an American city. Now, I wrote that 9 months before September 11th. As the plot of The Last Jihad unfolds, the FBI and the CIA trace the trail of terror back to Baghdad, to Iraq. And suddenly, the President of the United States and his senior advisors find themselves in a showdown with Saddam Hussein over weapons of mass destruction. All of that was written before 9/11, before the debate over going to war in Iraq, and certainly before the war itself. And when it came out, people were just stunned. How could you have possibly known this? Well, now with people getting a sense of what it's about, back up the clock to January of 2001. I'd worked for a lot of interesting political leaders over the years, Bill Bennett, Jack Kemp, Steve Forbes, Rush Limbaugh, as well as former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But after all that, about 10, 11 years in the political life, Sid, I got to tell you, I felt like, as my wife and I were praying about what should I do now with the rest of my career, that I had to ask myself if I had been as passionate about sharing the gospel with people as I had about, for example, the flat tax when I worked for Steve Forbes. And the honest conclusion was uncomfortable, but it was that no, I had been more passionate about the flat tax or Social Security reform or conservatism in general than I had about sharing my faith in Jesus as the Messiah. So my wife and I began to pray Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will hear you and answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. And my wife and I were praying with our kids. We've got three boys, Caleb, Jacob, and Jonah. 9, 7, and 5 years old. We call them the Ringling Brothers, three ring circus on our house.
I'm sure.
And we've been praying with them. You know, Daddy needs to write a book, but we need to ask God for a story, something interesting that will draw people in on a fascinating story. And then about three quarters of the way into it, when hopefully somebody can't put it down, Daddy can share the gospel with people. That was my heart. That was my prayer. And we were praying Jeremiah 33:3 because Daddy did not have a story to tell. Well, in January of 01, I sat down, and the story that began to come out was about this hijacked jet coming in on this kamikaze attack mission. Now, some of the details were different. I had envisioned a flight coming in into Denver, not to New York or Washington, or, with at a business jet, not a commercial airliner. But the operational concept was so chillingly real. On the morning of 9/11, my wife and kids and I, we live in Washington, not far from the Pentagon. I was actually writing the second to last chapter of The Last Jihad about a kamikaze attack that leads to war with Iraq when the news began to break about these attacks. And it was a horrifying time for all of us in America, particularly in Washington. And I had just been to the top of the World Trade Center a few weeks before with then Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill. We had a luncheon there with some Wall Street executives. And I had been right in that restaurant on the 110th floor, just marveling at this amazing feat of human engineering and technology. And now it was all gone. And I'm telling you, having written a story that just was so chillingly real to events that were now beginning to unfold, it was eerie. I'm not sure another way to put it. But it also felt like, well, there's no way I can publish this book now. I mean, it was too real, too raw, and it wasn't until January.
It's a good thing that we don't have to figure things out when we're working for God.
Well, that's true, because I said to the Lord, Lord, I had been praying Jeremiah 33:3, and you gave me a fascinating story, but now this book is useless. I mean, there's no way we can sell this book. Well, I felt like the Lord was. I didn't know what the Lord was saying, to be honest. I mean, it's not like he was saying wait. I didn't know what he was saying. I was confused. But in January of 2002, my wife and I were watching the State of the Union address when President Bush talked about the axis of evil and said the next great threat to the United States was Saddam Hussein because of his connection to terrorism.
Which you had in your book.
Exactly. And his connection to weapons of mass destruction. Now, at that moment, Lynn and I just looked at each other and we went, uh-oh, this is like the Twilight Zone. And the next day, my agent called and he said, do you work for the CIA? You know, every time I try to tell him, no, I don't, he says, well, that's just what you'd have to say, you know, if you did work for the CIA. I don't. But it was clear at that point that something, a dramatic turning point had just happened. That this novel, which was so real, a few months before that you couldn't sell it because it was too painful for people, now was foreseeing a battle with Saddam over weapons of mass destruction that was now, you know, as it turned out, a year and a half or year and 3 months away. A publisher picked it up very quickly, and the book came out in November 2002. And at that moment, I mean, no one had ever heard of Joel Rosenberg. No one had ever heard of The Last Jihad. But God had a book there that was so amazingly close to reality that he lifted it into the stratosphere. Very few books by first-time novelists hit number one on Amazon.com or spend 11 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list.
How do you know so much about Bible prophecy? How do you know so much about the inner workings of the political scene? How do you know so much about Israel?
Well, from the time I was in college, the time I really wrestled through with God and really came to know him at the age of 17, I became fascinated with prophecy. First and foremost, the messianic prophecies leading up to that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. That just totally intrigued me, and I was excited to, because it's just every day, the more I learned, it confirmed my faith. But I was also fascinated with prophecy of the times in which we live. I was particularly drawn to Matthew 24 and Luke 21, where Jesus was talking, where the disciples were basically asking him, when are you coming back, and what are the signs of the last days or the end times before your return? And I just was fascinated. Wars and rumors of wars, you know the list. Earthquakes, famines, revolutions, persecution of the believers, the spread of the gospel. But what fascinated me most was the idea of this parable of the fig tree, that and the fig tree being so often in the Old Testament the evidence of Israel, and the idea that Israel would start to blossom again and or in Ezekiel 37, come together, the dry bones coming back together as a country. And then in Luke 21, where Jesus says that Jerusalem will come back under the control of the Jewish people after a long time under the control of the nations, the Gentiles. Well, I was born in April of 1967. 2 months later, Jerusalem came back under the control of the Jewish people after, as you know, almost 2,000 years under the control of many different nations. And this has just totally fascinated me. And I,
you know, someone that hasn't even had an experiential happening with God, if they were to just look at these prophecies about the Jew and Israel, they'd have to say, this book is not a natural book, this Bible. It is a supernatural book, and I must believe.
That's right. Well, that's the way, that's how it's impacted me. And I, and now, spiritually, like, the Lord never took us into becoming missionaries or, you know, working on a church staff or a parachurch staff. He took us professionally into the political realm. And that's where I then matched, you know, kind of on a separate track, but parallel, began to work with very some of the best Middle East experts in the world.
Listen, you were the senior advisor to Netanyahu, who I believe is going to be the next prime minister of Israel, and many other people believe this. What was that like?
Well, that was a fascinating time, because when I got hired to work for the former prime minister, it was at a time that his predecessor, or I'm sorry, his successor, Ehud Barak, was prime minister. And Barak had just come to Washington with Yasser Arafat and Bill Clinton to basically give away 97% of the West Bank and Gaza, Judea and Samaria.
We're going to pick up on that story because we're running short of time. But what is your personal view on a Palestinian state?
Well, as I write about this in the last days, I think that I think it's going to happen.
Unfortunately, I do too. And I say unfortunately, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think there's it's like history is compelling it to happen. But I don't believe that you can give away that which is not yours to give. The president, American president can't, and Israeli prime minister can't. Doesn't mean they won't, but God promised Judea and Samaria to the Jewish people long before any of the current presidents or prime ministers.
In other words, the West Bank. We're out of time, Joel. Mishbucha, I'm making his hardback book available. I agree with Rush Limbaugh, who says, Rosenberg's Last Jihad absolutely crackles with high energy and a chilling premise. What if the war on terror goes nuclear? His next book, The Last Days, his latest book, I think is far more exciting even than his first. We're making it available for a donation of $30 or more. It's called The Last Days. Call or write today. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.